Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
There are things about America that are so grand. We have in our great legacy a common connection with the land that has been the life force of freedom. It has been locked up, thank God, in our wondrous national parks. As summer spins our way, it's time to return to our national parks and soak up the soul of the open spaces. And there is no place that offers that possibility like the place we head to next. We're off to the Grand Canyon as the voice of the earth continues here on the Wildside News. This summer, I hope each of you commits to visit a national park. Trust me, it's not because the parks need you exactly, but you can be assured that you need the park. Each national park has its own character, from national seashores and scenic riverways to America's historic battlefields and the soul of the birth of a nation. America's national parks hold our legacy. And certainly the grandest of the grand is the Grand Canyon. So now, let's find out what you will find when you go west to the Great Divide. So to tell us about all the wonderful things that are going to be happening at the Grand Canyon National Park this year is Judy Bryan, who is the Chief of Interpretation. Judy, welcome to the Wildside News.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you sit in one of the most amazing parks. I can imagine there may be a few people who haven't been there, but if, by chance, someone has never been there, how in the world could you describe Grand Canyon National Park?
Oh, that's a hard question. I can't think of one word to describe it. I think it's spectacular beauty and in a harsh environment that is just a breathtaking conglomeration of beautiful scenery and intimate places.
It is one of the most awe-inspiring places probably in the world that we have easy access to. One could climb to a 30,000-foot mountain and possibly get a similar experience. But for those of us who probably are going to hop in our vehicle and drive someplace and hope to be inspired, this really is a pinnacle experience. Obviously, what most people come there for are these spectacular views of the deep, deep canyon. Tell us how people can actually best experience that.
What we usually tell visitors to do when they get here is just find a place on the rim to get their first view of the canyon and just sit and enjoy it and watch the light change and just reflect on what that vast space and what those beautiful colors and the vastness of the canyon mean to you as a person. There's access to the rim from both the north side and the south side, so you have a number of ways of getting here and different views along the way.
Well, there are a lot of ways to experience the park, and we're going to talk a little bit about those things. First of all, the most common way to experience the park, and one that all of the interpreters are trying to help people go beyond, but that is with your car. And quite honestly, you can really have a terrific adventure if you're limited to your car at Grand Canyon National Park.
Yes, you can. We have 30 miles of developed road along the south rim and miles of scenic roads along the north rim. But we always do recommend that visitors get out of their car and just sit in a quiet space somewhere along the rim. All you really have to do is walk 5 or 10 minutes from one of the overlooks, and you have the canyon to yourself.
Which is spectacular. And as you say, spending time there, I think, is one of the best ways to do that, because something happens. I think the millions and millions and millions of years that this canyon has been there begin to sort of impart its spirit and soul into the visitor. If they really spend a little bit of time there, somehow that magic happens.
Yes, it does. Just watching what we say is the clouds dancing around the canyon can give it a totally different perspective for you as the light changes and you get different perspectives on how deep and wide the canyon is, as opposed to when you might see it for 5 minutes on a sunny day. It just changes everywhere you go, every time of day. Every viewpoint of the canyon will give you a totally different perspective on it. And just walking 5 minutes down one of the trails and looking back up gives you an unbelievable perspective on the vastness of this place and the power of the canyon to really change some people's lives.
It should be mandatory. If you come that far and you don't get out of your car, well, shame on you. I'm just going to say, get out of your car and go walk to the rim, and then watch your breath be taken away.
Exactly. We always recommend that to people. Don't just drive your car to the rim, but get out and enjoy it.
Well, there's lots of other ways, too. Now, some people, of course, would like to come to the canyon and spend more time. What are some of the opportunities there?
Well, we offer, during the summer months, we offer over 25 different interpretive programs a day that focus on different aspects of the canyon, be it geology or the natural history, the Native American stories. Native Americans have been in this area for over 12,000 years, so there's a rich history there. We do programs that talk about the different types of inspiration that have come out of the canyon, art and poetry and music, all the different things for 150 or more years that have inspired people to write and about the Grand Canyon and draw it.
Now, of course, some people may wish to camp, and talk about what those opportunities are.
Well, we have all different types of camping. You can bring your RV into the camp, into the park, and camp along the rim at an RV park. We've got a tent campground on the south rim in two different locations. And on the north rim, there's a campground that accommodates both recreational vehicles and tents. And then there's always below the rim camping, carrying your tent on your back along with all the food and water that you need to experience the canyon. Day hiking below the canyon does not require a permit, but going down and spending the night does require a permit. And if you go onto the park's website, you can find out how to get one of those permits.
Now, for people who are, let's say, going to bring in their RV or something, is it recommended that they get reservations in advance?
Yes, it is. Especially during the summer months, we recommend that both for RV and tent camping, if you're going to be on the rim, that you do try and make a reservation ahead of time.
How many people come to Grand Canyon each year?
We get over 4.5 million visitors each year. Most of those are visiting the south rim, but about 10% of our visitors actually visit the north rim, which is only 10 miles as the condor flies across the canyon, but it's a 250-mile drive from rim to rim.
Wow. How many people does that come out to be in a typical day at the park?
Our estimates for typical day visitation is about 25 to 30,000 a day.
Wow.
It's a lot. But remember, it's a 1.5 million acre park.
It's
a lot of space.
There is. Actually, I don't think it really feels that crowded, even with that number there. Well, let's talk about kind of taking that adventure and taking that walk down into the canyon. There's a lot to that. It's not the type of thing that you want to do if you're not sure you can do it.
No, it's not. The canyon is actually a desert environment. It's 7,000 feet on the south rim, 8,000 feet on the north rim. And the canyon changes in elevation about 5,000 feet or a vertical mile between the rim and the river. And although it may be a pleasant 75, 80 degree day on the rim, it can be 20 to 25 degrees hotter on the bottom of the canyon. So it is a harsh desert environment, and there's not a whole lot of water down there. So you have to be prepared carrying food and water with you.
And also you have to be prepared to realize that your muscles may not just carry you the whole route.
Yes, it's true. It's opposite for most people's hiking experience. Most of the time when you hike, you're used to going up a mountain or up a hill and then turning around when you're tired and hiking back down, which is a lot easier. At the canyon, you're actually hiking down into the canyon, and then when you turn around to come out, you've got that mountain to climb when you're already tired.
Now, of course, you don't necessarily have to walk all the way down and back up again. There are some options, aren't there?
Oh, there's all kinds of options. You can walk down any of the trails as far as you want to or as short as you want to. The primary hiking trails from the South Rim are the South Kaibab and the Bright Angel Trail, and both of them are 7.5 miles down to the river. But you can walk down each trail 5 minutes or 10 minutes, depending on your desire and your skill level.
And the mule trips, are they still available?
The mules are still going on. They've been taking visitors into the canyon for over 100 years. Now, those reservations need to be made way in advance. We do get cancellations on a daily basis, but most of those are booked about 18 months out.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, for people who wish to really go kind of in the upscale fashion, you do have some legendary lodges.
Yes, we do. The El Tovar, which is the oldest lodge on the rim, celebrating its 100th birthday this year. It was opened in 1905. We've got the Bright Angel Trail, which was actually built by one of the famous Southwest architects named Mary Jane Coulter. She's one of the few women architects of the early 20th century. And we've got the Yavapai and the Maswik, which aren't right on the rim, but they're very popular for people to stay in. On the north rim is the Grand Lodge at Grand Canyon. It was also built in the early 20th century.
Now let's go to the other extreme, and that would be the backcountry experiences. What kind of opportunities exist?
Well, there's the most popular opportunities are what we call the Corridor Trail backpacking experience, which is a 26-mile trail that crosses the canyon, and it starts or ends on the north rim and starts or ends on the south rim. And along that, you've got three campgrounds, the Cottonwood Campground, Phantom Ranch, which is located along the Colorado River at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, and Indian Garden Campground. So those are the primary areas that a lot of people go to in their first experience. And then there's 1.1 million acres of backcountry that are open to camping and backpacking.
Do you require some permits for that?
Yes, permits are required. They are let out 4 months in advance of your desired desired dates, and all the information on that is also on our website.
I hear that you've had some special events this last spring that were marking the 100th anniversary, and tell us about that.
That's right. This spring, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of both the El Tovar, which is the Grand Hotel on the south rim of the canyon, and the Hopi House, which was also designed by Mary Jane Coulter, and both of those facilities are still operated by the Santa Fe Railroad Company, that or its derivation, and open to the public.
Now, I hear you have some relatively new residents in the park that are getting quite a bit of attention, and these are some of the most spectacular birds we're ever going to find anywhere in the world.
That's right, Sydney. The California condor, which was on the brink of extinction in the 1980s, is back at Grand Canyon National Park. Through the Peregrine Fund, the Fish and Wildlife Service, and some other organizations, the park has participated in a reintroduction program. And if you're at the Grand Canyon during the late spring, summer, and fall months, you're very likely to see a California condor soaring over the Grand Canyon. They are one of the most endangered species in the world, and they are just spectacular birds. They have a 9.5-foot wingspan and are just beautiful birds as they just soar on the currents over the canyon.
I've never seen a condor, and this is a terrific reason for me to revisit, as if I needed a good reason to revisit the Grand Canyon, but that would be exciting to see.
It is. We have a lot of visitors who come into the visitor center, and one of the first questions they ask is, where can I go to see a California condor? The program has been very successful here. We've had three condors that were actually hatched and fledged in the wild here at Grand Canyon. It's a very successful program.
Now, of course, I suppose 25 years from now, they may be renamed the Grand Canyon Condor, which has kind of a nice feel to it.
Well, it does. I doubt it'll happen, though. I think California has the real spin on that. They've also got quite a large reintroduction program over there.
That sounds so exciting. So you've been at the park about 5 years.
Correct.
I suppose you're gearing up for the summer these days, and you're having all sorts of new interpreters and returning interpreters coming back to the park.
Yes, we are. We start our summer season Sunday, May 22nd, and at that time we will have 5 or 6 new staff and returning staff members on to provide programs to the public all along the south and the north rim.
Those are extraordinarily fun times. I wish I could be there.
Well, come join us.
I just may decide to stop by. If I do, I'll give you a call.
Okay.
Well, listen, now let's talk about people who want to come to the park. What's the best way to get there?
Well, if you want to go to the North Rim, the best way to get there is to fly or drive towards Las Vegas and drive across the Arizona Strip and down into the North Rim. It's a beautiful forested drive. As compared to coming to the South Rim, you're basically driving over from Vegas or up from Phoenix through the Sonoran and Mojave Deserts and coming up into the Ponderosa Forest of the South Rim through Flagstaff or Williams, Arizona, or from the Navajo Nation out on the east side of the park.
It is truly spectacular in every dimension and from every perspective. Judy, you've been there for 5 years now. What is your favorite aspect of the park?
Oh, boy, that's a tough question.
I'm going to ask it anyway.
My favorite thing to do, I get to do this afternoon, I'm actually going to hike down into the canyon and just find a quiet spot to sit on a rock and, as I said before, watch the clouds dance and listen to people experience the canyon. It's one of those places where even those of us that get to live and work here on a year-round basis, just listening to what new visitors have to say about this place is really refreshing. But just any place in the canyon where you can find a quiet spot is really what I enjoy doing.
I do believe that there's many people who would have a life-changing experience if they could do that.
Oh, I think so. I feel very lucky and privileged to get to be here.
Judy Bryan, Chief of Interpretation at Grand Canyon National Park, thanks so much for adding your voice to the Wildside News.
You're more than welcome, and come visit us this summer.
I'm going to, for sure. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So while you visit a national park, take time to head on out on your own. And when you do, bring along a sketchbook and something to draw with. Because after listening to our next segment, you will learn how you, yes, you, can learn the joys of drawing the wondrous nature and beauty of the plants when we return as we celebrate life in its grandeur here on the Wildside News.